This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Seton, what if I told you there's a bacon, then there's number one thick cut, tastes like a touchdown in your mouth bacon?
You must be talking about Wright brand bacon, because they are not playing when it comes to the premium quality of their bacon.
It's thick cut, hand trimmed, and real wood smoke, real. And you can tell.
So why settle for average bacon when you can have the real stuff?
That's right. And if you're looking to upgrade any meal, try Wright brand bacon. That's called Wright brand bacon. You won't regret it.
Experience bacon the right way.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. Miller Lite, great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. And as always, please celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Since 2000, the following players have had at least 92 passing touchdowns and 56 or fewer interceptions in their first four seasons. So those are the numbers that Baker Mayfield has. First 4 years, 92 touchdowns, 56 interceptions. Other players who have numbers in that grouping, Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, Derek Carr, Josh Allen, Andrew Luck, Carson Wentz, Dak Prescott, Matt Ryan, and Baker Mayfield. So that would be considered a pretty good start. Not a great start, but a pretty good start. Now I factor in four head coaches, four offensive coordinators, and you know, maybe you have a sliding scale there of exactly what you got from Baker Mayfield. Now you also have the health factor in there. With him playing through injury, maybe he's healthy, ready to go. And this is it felt like it was a move that was rumored for quite some time because we kept thinking he's got to end up somewhere. Is it Seattle? Maybe Pittsburgh? Was it going to be Carolina? And then finally, the Panthers pulled the trigger on this. Joe Person, he covers the Carolina Panthers. He's the beat writer for The Athletic, kind enough to join us on this topic on short notice. How's the move been received there in Carolina, Joe?
I think folks are mostly pretty excited about it. They Panthers fans have seen kind of a revolving door at quarterback since Ron Rivera left and Matt Rhule came in. They made the decision, of course, to cut ties with Cam Newton. They did bring him back briefly last year after Sam Darnold got hurt, but then it was Teddy Bridgewater, then it was Darnold, who I just mentioned, and it hadn't worked. I mean, they have for one reason or another, none of those guys were helped by the fact that Christian McCaffrey's been injured the last 2 years, obviously, but they're going to keep swinging at the quarterback position. Obviously, they drafted Matt Corral in the third round this year, viewed him, Dan, as more of a developmental quarterback. The plan was never to rush him along. So what you said is absolutely right. This felt like it was going to be inevitable, beginning really on the second night of the draft when Cleveland and the Panthers were talking, and it continued up through minicamp, and now finally the Panthers sort of put a 4th of July – July 5th, actually, deadline on it, try to get it done, and they did.
I'm just trying to figure out the strategy here because you keep, you know, you said they keep swinging, you know, trying to get a quarterback here. At some point, I got to blame the people trying to get the quarterback that they keep missing on this. I like Matt Corral a lot. He kind of reminds me of a more athletic Baker Mayfield. And he's a third-round pick, so he's not expensive. And if Baker does well, you're going to have to pay him market value. Sam Darnold, is it a truly an open competition in your opinion that it's between those two to be the starting quarterback?
Not really. I mean, they went and got Baker because they didn't feel confident in Sam Darnold. I mean, obviously they tried to get Deshaun Watson. You just mentioned Corral, and maybe it's open for the first week or so at training camp only because Baker. Only because Baker's going to have to cram the playbook and learn this Ben McAdoo offense in a pretty short period of time. Camp starts for the Panthers 2 weeks from today. And your point about Matt Rhule and David Tepper, the owner, and the general manager, Scott Fitterer, is absolutely valid. I mean, this team has the decision makers have missed at the most important position on the field. And if they miss again, and it's probably going to cost Matt Rhule his job and could mean Scott Fitterer, who did arrive a year after Rhule, he could be in trouble too.
How did Baker do with the media yesterday?
It was interesting. I thought we were going to have all kinds of fireworks and some pretty juicy quotes about Cleveland and getting disrespected. And it was very clear, even the way, I mean, he was in a button-down shirt from what looked like his kitchen or dining room in his Austin, Texas home. And he was very buttoned up, and that was
literally
kind of how he, and that was how he came across, Dan. I think, and I asked him the question. Obviously, you mentioned the health and the other concerns with Baker, and then the other thing is just, you know, does he alienate a portion of the locker room, as some have reported, and of course, Mort's report about the adult in the room in Cleveland in the quarterback room. And so I said, will you do anything differently in Charlotte than you did in Cleveland? And I thought he gave a pretty good answer. He said, look, there is a balance. Like, I think what I learned is not to make everything so public when things are going poorly or if there's an issue with a teammate. He said, but I also, you know, I can't change who I am, and I have to bring the swagger or I'm not going to be the guy, the quarterback I need to be. You know, these things always get more attention and get heightened when a team's not winning like Cleveland last year. And so I think that'll be the case. I mean, are the Panthers going to win? Then maybe folks are overlooking or able to sweep some of that under the rug. Or maybe Baker changes. We'll see. Like when Cam Newton came back last year, Dan, he said he was a more mature, a more humble guy from what he had gone through in New England, having to wait and take a prove-it type contract. We'll see if the same can be true of Baker Mayfield.
What about Christian McCaffrey?
Well, he looks good. I mean,
well, he always looks good, but those are usually poses with his shirt off with his girlfriend in some faraway exotic island.
Yeah, I know. I no doubt about it. He had an interesting phone call this offseason where he proactively called Marshall Faulk. And if you look at Marshall's numbers, around year five, year six, Marshall went to three straight Pro Bowls, I think an All-Pro three straight years, had some of his most productive seasons, and he called him too because, as you know, he's a very similar player, catching the ball out of the backfield, lining up in the slot occasionally, and running the ball. And I caught up with Faulk in Charlotte. He was in Charlotte for a speaking appearance a couple weeks ago, and I said, what'd you tell Christian? Because Christian didn't want to get too into it. And he said, you know, it just comes a time where you have to train a little differently. You have to practice a little differently. If they're trying to give you the day off, take it. Don't be, you know, don't feel like you have to be the you know, it's okay even as a team leader, like, oh, you're giving me this Wednesday off, take it. And then Falk said, too, and this dovetails a little bit with what you were talking about, McCaffrey with his shirt off, is Marshall said when he was playing, he takes his shirt off. People weren't sure if he was a professional athlete. But he trained. He was more into yoga, Pilates, that kind of thing, rather than bulking up. And I think he shared a lot of that with Christian McCaffrey.
Well, if Christian is going to follow Marshall Faulk's path for success, he should join the Rams, just like Marshall did, where he was with the best offense in football. That certainly helped. He's in Carolina, and they're going to ask him to do a whole lot. And I wouldn't have signed him to the contract extension. Never a running back. I don't want you for another contract. But if they can use him in a different way, you know. But if I'm Baker Mayfield, I'm like, hey, Christian, can you help me? can you help me get a new contract here? So I don't know if he's able to change the role that he's going to play on that team, because it feels like the role that Christian McCaffrey is going to play is even larger now than it was before.
That became a talking point kind of during the offseason. I mean, it's been a talking point for 2 years, but it popped up again, OTA's mini camp. And Matt Rhule, there was some talk, will Christian play more in the slot, Christian McCaffrey? And Rhule said unequivocally, yeah, we might do that some, he said, but he's a running back. And he's one of the best in the game when healthy. And you're right. I mean, last year they did not play him at all during the preseason. And he's not going to play this summer either, at least in the three exhibitions. Where they ran – here's where I think it started to go bad for Christian last year, is they had two home games, both of which they won, the second of which was New Orleans. He got like 28 touches as he had in week one. And 4 days later, he's on the field at Houston in a Thursday night game and pops his hamstring. And I just think that he kind of went from 0 to 60, yeah, having not had any game action in the preseason. So they got to figure something out, because you're right. I mean, Baker Mayfield or Sam Darnold or any quarterback you want to pop in there has to have McCaffrey for the majority of the games for this offense to be successful.
Well, Joe, Carolina got interesting. I don't know if you got any better, but you certainly got more interesting. So always great to talk to you, and thank you.
All right, Dan. Have a good summer.
Thank you, Joe. That's Joe Person, Carolina Panthers beat writer for The Athletic. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com, or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime. With tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling, only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite. NBA fans, listen up. You got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is really simple. Select a player who will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for big cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using the promo code DPSHOW and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with the promo code DPSHOW, the crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We know that quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for you and your partner whenever you want. Two beds in one, firmer or softer on each side, you decide. And it helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature as well, quiets their snoring, so you stay sleeping comfortably all night long. Sleep Number does everything. My Sleep Number setting is 75. Sleep Number smart beds learn how you sleep. They provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. You will never need another bed. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. We'll update the poll results. More phone calls coming up. Always great to have Brian Windhorst, ESPN senior NBA writer, joining us on the program. I got to be in the minority here, Brian. I still think there's a chance that KD stays in Brooklyn. How much of that would be based in reality from what you know?
That's the sort of position that the Nets are now sort of floating out there. They don't like their offers. And, you know, it's a complex reason why Durant isn't getting higher offers. He's obviously a very valued player, but there just hasn't been a bidding war developed for him because of various reasons. And so now they are indicating that there may be retrenching. And we have a story in the New York Post this morning, quoting a source close to Kyrie Irving that says Kyrie wants to go back to Brooklyn. He never asked for a trade. He's fine with it. I find that story to be credible, at least based on what Kyrie's feeling is now. What we don't have is what Kevin Durant thinks about that possibility, because he started all this when he asked for a trade. My instinct is to say that this is posturing from the Nets and that they're saying, fine, you won't give us what we want. We'll just keep our guys and we'll play it out and we could beat you anyway. And I have to admit that that is a possibility. But again, my instinct is still that it's a posture.
Has Kevin Durant said why he wants out of Brooklyn?
Not publicly. I mean, I've heard some of the reasons he gave privately. I'm not going to say them now because I can't verify them. But if your point is what was like his ironclad good reason, I haven't heard one that I thought was like, okay, that's a good reason.
I just don't understand it. He got a team. Even if Kyrie leaves, you got the coach you wanted. You got your contract. I mean, that was 11 months ago. So I don't know what happened or the realization or the epiphany, but that's what I would love for somebody to ask KD.
And that's maybe one of the reasons why the Nets are taking this position. I think they probably thought, okay, if he doesn't want to be here, fine. We're going to go out and make a Herschel Walker trade. We're going to get picks that people are going to be talking about for years. And we're going to be getting three or four players that can maybe help us now, even if it's not a superstar. And we're going to be a much more gritty team that may compete for the playoffs and has a great looking future. And that offer didn't come. And so now they're like, well, what would be the harm in trying to run this back? I still think they were so miserable at the end of last year. And this whole thing started because they were like, we can't accept the status quo. And they started out with the hardline negotiating position against Kyrie Irving on a new contract. But I have to say, they were offering him a new contract. Now we can debate. We don't know what that offer was, but Kyrie rejected it. We can debate. Maybe this has happened to you in your career, Dan. I've certainly seen it to other people. Maybe it'll happen to me someday. When you're getting offered a contract, they don't really want you to take, but they say they offer it to you. But they did offer him a contract. So I can't say that the Nets rejected the entire concept of having Kyrie on the team. But it doesn't feel to me like they wanted that scenario to play out again. I guess we'll have to wait and see.
How do these rumors about KD going to Golden State, how does that come to the forefront?
It's a good question. In my case, there's legitimate sources in the league telling me that it's a discussion. I think that the Warriors always believe in open throttle. The Warriors have shown that they don't care what they spend. They spent $350 million this year on this team. And the Warriors have shown that they aren't afraid to do, like, they went out and got Durant in the first place before last season. Now, granted, they didn't know if they had a championship team. They know now they do. They kicked the tires on Bradley Beal. Like, they were like, hey, can we do a deal for Bradley Beal? Beal didn't want to go. There was this period where Westbrook thought Beal might ask for a trade. And Beal didn't. And then Westbrook did. Westbrook got tired of waiting and then asked for a trade out of Washington. And so that's just, you know, this is the way they go about it. I also think it says a lot about Steph Curry, that Steph was willing to subjugate to Durant in the past. And this has been a discussion inside the Warriors organization. Curry has been asked about it, and Curry gave a non-answer. But he didn't shut it down. He didn't say hell no, which he has every right to do. Be like, no, I just won the finals MVP. No, we do not need to do Kevin Durant. We need to bring our team back together and try to repeat. And I think most importantly, forget about sources. Let's just go to Joe Lacob. He does this interview, this podcast interview with The Athletic over, I guess it was late last week. A year ago, he did the same, podcast with Tim Kawakami, same host. He trusts him, obviously. And he was asked about Ben Simmons was on the trade block. And he said, what about Ben Simmons? And he basically said, hell no. We're not trading for Ben Simmons. And he was fined $50,000 for saying Ben Simmons' name. But he said, hell no. So let's, again, listen to actions. This time he's asked about Kevin Durant. He never uses the word no. In fact, he won't even say the name Kevin Durant, because he's learned he can't say the name or it'll cost you money. So he doesn't say the name, but he doesn't say no. So do I think it's likely? Do I think it's, on the pie chart of things to happen? Do I think it's a big slice? I don't. But I also don't think that I should dismiss it based on what I'm being told.
All right. If you're LeBron James, what are you thinking right now?
So he's got an interesting card in the deck, which is his contract extension. He has never applied contract pressure to the Lakers. He applied contract pressure regularly to the Cavs. He signed three contracts over 4 years there. They were always under pressure. He went to the Lakers, signed a four-year deal straight out of the gate. Then 2 years into it, signed an extension with no option in it. So, the Lakers have never had to worry about LeBron James and his contract. Well, now he's on the last year, and he can extend. And he can't even extend until mid-August, which is a sort of a product of the way the pandemic played out, but also convenient for him because he gets to see the Lakers whole offseason basically before he gets to do it. And so the question for him is, of course he wants the Lakers to improve. Would he like to add Kyrie Irving in place of Russell Westbrook? I don't think that's a controversial statement. Of course he would. Would he prefer Kyrie Irving other than the other 400 players in the league? No, I'm sure there'd be many more players he'd like to play with, but they can't get those guys. They can maybe get Kyrie Irving. So the question is, does he make it an issue in his contract extension talks? I don't know the answer. I don't know if he's decided the answer. If I'm the Lakers, I'm sitting there going, I've made an offer for Kyrie Irving. If they don't like my offer, tough luck, because there's nobody else bidding on him. Why should I increase my offer? The offer is going to be there today. It will still be there in October. It might still be there on January 1st. It might still be there on February 1st. Why should I throw in picks and everything like that? So why should I bid against myself? And I can frankly see that Lakers position. And if you're, especially if Kyrie starts at some point to push back and say, now I want out of here, and becomes the miserable person that the Nets didn't want, where they'll take any way to get rid of him. And then you say, well, does LeBron make an issue of that in his contract? I don't think LeBron likes the feeling of being partially blamed for the Russell Westbrook trade. And we've seen a giant game of hot potato, and that was, no, it was him. No, it was him. No, it was him. No, that was her. But LeBron absolutely had a role in that. And so I'm not sure he wants to be perceived as the guy who's banging down the door. You better trade me. You better get me Kyrie Irving, or else I'm not signing this. I'm not sure that's the way he wants to play it. Even at his age, I'm not sure that's what is on his mind. And we'll have to watch and see how that plays out.
Ryan Windhorst, ESPN senior NBA writer. Explain to me what the Jazz are doing.
Rebuilding. And as soon as they made that Royce O'Neal trade, the day Durant asked for a trade and that got buried, that was a complete clarion call, canary in the coal mine, whatever you want to say, what they were doing. And no matter what they've said to other teams, no one has ever not believed they were going to trade both of them if they could. I mean, you're not going to trade them for nothing. And then they get a giant haul for Rudy Gobert, and now they want a giant haul for Donovan Mitchell. And my guess is, and again, let's judge them on their actions. Let's not judge them on their words. Forget what Danny Ainge said publicly. Let's judge on their actions. They have traded two starting players, one of them a star, this offseason, both of them for draft picks. The players that they got back from Minnesota are all role players on expiring contracts. They were going to want draft picks. And, you know, Miami can offer them players and a couple of draft picks. You know, you could do a Donovan Mitchell trade to Brooklyn as part of a 3 or 4 team deal, where they would get Ben Simmons back, because Donovan Mitchell and Ben Simmons can't be on the same team with their contract rules. But again, let's judge it by their actions. Their actions is they want draft picks, and the players will take a player if he's okay, but we want the picks. The Knicks have the picks. And, you know, executives in the league believe that this, everything that the Jazz are going to do between now and when they trade Donovan Mitchell, is an effort to get the Knicks to pay the most premium price.
Yeah, I know that we love for clicks to say the Lakers and Knicks whenever it's, hey, somebody could be traded and somebody could be signed. It's always Knicks and Lakers. I really feel like the Knicks, they seem like they're the real player in here for Donovan Mitchell. And, you know, he was from Greenwich or the Greenwich area, and I don't know if he cares about playing for the Knicks. But, you know, you got Brunson in there. If they keep R.J. Barrett, feels like that they could actually have something there.
Yeah, I mean, the Knicks have 8 first-round picks that they're allowed to trade. 4 are their own and 4 are other teams. And again, let's just be honest here. If you're going to trade for a team's draft picks, you know, unprotected picks, the Knicks are a good team to trade for. They have not shown an ability to build a consistent winner. If you owned their draft, now they'd never get lucky in the lottery, but if you've owned their draft picks for the last 20 years, you'd have like a whole bunch of lottery picks. So again, if you're the Jazz, you're thinking, can we get the Heat involved enough? Can we get the Nets and Suns in a 3-way trade involved enough to get the Knicks to make a crazy bid? You know, they got the Timberwolves to pay a huge price for Gobert, all these unprotected picks and stuff. And nobody's really sure. I mean, there were teams who were definitely talking to them about Gobert. There were other teams interested, but no team willing to pay that price. They were able to achieve an incredible premium without getting the bidding war. They might actually get a bidding war for Donovan Mitchell. But I think the Knicks, if they value him you know, to this level. I think the Knicks can get it done. Now, we can debate on how much better that makes them. I think they missed the play-in tournament by like six games last year, if I recall. So even if Donovan Mitchell helps them win seven more games, which would be a huge number for any player to come in, you bring in LeBron James in his prime, maybe he's winning you 12 more games. I mean, to ask for that kind of spread would be outsized even for Donovan Mitchell. But let's just say he is awesome next year and they win seven more games. He's responsible for seven more wins. You're still in the play-in tournament.
Yeah.
Do you trade five first-round picks for a player like that? And the answer for the Knicks, who've been searching for a star since Carmelo was in his prime, the answer, Dan, maybe yes. And that's what I think the Jazz are going to put them to the test on.
Could you run the Knicks better than the Knicks are being run?
I would take a very fat consulting fee to come in and make suggestions and then leave. But I'll tell you one thing I would instantaneously do is I would move their headquarters out of Westchester, because repeatedly I talk to agents and players who complain about that. All these players want to live in the city and they've completely taken the advantages of the city out of it. And it's, I don't know how big of a factor it is, but it's a contributing factor to why they've struggled with free agents. But you know, they're a sleeping giant, and it's really unbelievable that the league has had the success it's had when their team and their biggest market has been so freaking bad. And for that stretch in the 2010s, LeBron and Steph Curry carried the NBA. They were getting 30 million viewers for finals games, 30 million in a league where the Lakers and Knicks were the Lakers, Knicks and Bulls were missing the playoffs.
Yeah.
Year after year after year. The Knicks not being good has been like a weight on the NBA's ankle. And so if you're the Knicks and you say, well, listen, the top end, if you trade for Donovan Mitchell with Jalen Brunson, maybe you have a great season and you win 48 games. That's a dream. If they could get multiple seasons of mid to high 40 wins and have a chance to win a playoff series, like, is that going to make anybody forget the 70s Knicks who won the titles? No, but it would be a departure from where they've been for 20 years. They've won one playoff series in my adult lifetime, basically.
I think you could run the Knicks better than the Knicks are being run.
I wouldn't take the job. I would take a consulting fee, but I would not take the job. I don't care how much money.
Has LeBron ever yelled at you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yelled, like screamed, like he would scream at his son. No, but he's been mad at me. Let me tell you about the time where my newspaper, I didn't have anything to do with this, but when he bought a house as a rookie in Akron, Ohio, the Akron Beacon Journal, where I worked at the time, ran the address of the house that he had just bought. Now, obviously it wasn't going to stay secret forever, but they, not only did they run the address, but they put a map, a graphic map, just in case you wanted to drive by it like that afternoon. Boy. Here's how you get there. Let's just say he didn't like that. And there have been times where he's been pretty upset at me. So it happens in the course of, you know, I've seen him through go some of his worst times and some of his best times. So I was there I wasn't in the hospital or anything, but I was there the night his son Bronny was born, and he was having to explain to me, he was leaving training camp, and he had to explain why he was leaving training camp. And like an interview was arranged, and he told me, you know, he didn't know his father. And he told me that he was going to give his son his name, which he's later said he's regretted, which is why he goes by Bronny instead of LeBron Jr. And he told me that he was going to be the father to this son that he didn't have. And that's sort of maybe a cliche thing that you do if you grow up without a father, but he's done it. Look at the kind of father he's been to Bronny. And he's dedicating part of his career here to be there so that he can help Bronny potentially get into the NBA and be successful in the NBA. I mean, you know, so that sort of journey, those sorts of things. Yeah, there's been individual moments. I remember going to him after the game four of the 2016 finals where the Cavs fell down 3-1. And I remember looking on my phone and because we didn't know in the moment that Draymond had hit LeBron in between the legs there. It was like sort of after the game, people started looking at the video and, you know, the locker room was dead, Dan, dead. And I walked over with the video and showed him on my phone the video. And I remember him watching it and then pushing the scroll bar back and watching it two or three times. I don't even think he knew that Draymond had hit him there. If he did, he'd forgotten it. And, you know, he, you know, I just remember like those moments when he was at his lowest and that, and how he was like, wait a minute, something might happen here. So that's the stuff that I remember more than, you know, the stories that I wrote that pissed him off or stuff I said that pissed him off. You know, his relationship with the media has changed a lot over the years. Now he is the media. It's a little bit different. He doesn't quote unquote need the media like he used to. So the relationship is different, but, those are the moments I'll remember, stuff like that.
Always great to talk to you, Brian. I know you've been busy. Thank you very much for making time.
Have a great week, Dan.
That's Brian Windhorst, ESPN senior NBA writer. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win, but that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
You've probably put this off long enough. It's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has the tires that will elevate your game. Touring tires for commuting comfort. How about performance tires for sporty handling? All terrain if you're going on and off-road adventuring. Go to TireRack.com and get started. You're not sure where to begin? I suggest the easy-to-use tire decision guide. Get a personalized tire recommendation, the right tires for how and what and where you drive. Choose from the full lineup of Kumho tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you. Or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They bring the tires to your home or office and install them on site. Go to TireRack.com/Dan to see their Kumho test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews. And be sure to check out all the current special offers. Great tires and a great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Dan. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be. If you do the quick math, the less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your products or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep, which is obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So reduce your cost. Reduce the headaches. Smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial, management, inventory, HR onto one platform. And one source of truth with NetSuite. You reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud, so there's no hardware required. And you can access from anywhere. So you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes onto one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Right now, backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. So head to netsuite.com/Patrick. netsuite.com/Patrick.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports, like A lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Let's make way for one of our favorites, David Ferretti. You can catch Tiger, Rory, and all the coverage from NBC, the 150th Open Championship from St. Andrews in Scotland. And their coverage today through Sunday, NBC, USA Network, Peacock, Tiger, featured in Thursday's exclusive featured groups. So they got Rory at almost 5 o'clock Eastern, 5 a.m. Eastern. And Tiger goes off at 9:59 a.m. Eastern. Jordan Spieth and John Rahm will follow that at 10:10. So we bring in David Ferretti, who joins us from the old court. Well, no. Where are you right now?
I'm in the toilet.
Because?
Well, it's the most spacious area of my room, Dan, here in St. Andrews. And, you know, what can you expect for $1,500 a night in Scotland at this time?
Is it a historical toilet?
It's actually very nicely appointed, and it's not the sort of Victorian plumbing that you might expect. It's been done up.
How's the old course going to hold up this week?
You know, it depends on the wind, Dan, which is, you know, perhaps I better rephrase that given where I am. it has blown pretty strongly today. And if we get that breeze, the crosswinds, it could hold up pretty well because it's hard and it's fast. And that's exactly the way you want to see St. Andrews play. It's burnt out in places. It's in beautiful condition, but it needs the wind.
You remember the last time you played that course?
I remember the last time I played it in competition, yeah. Yes.
How'd you do?
I was the captain of the Irish side that won the Dunhill Cup, which was then the three-man world team championship. And oddly enough, the last time I was in this hotel, I was looking for a ball. having won the Dunhill Cup in 1990, the Irish team collectively decided to play the last hole at 3 o'clock in the morning. And I managed to hit it straight right off the 18th tee into the Roussex Marine Hotel, which is where I'm staying, and broke a window on the ground floor. So that's one of my lasting memories of St. Andrews.
What would be your headline right now going into the Open Championship?
Wow, the headline. Well, you know, there's a couple of players there that you've got to really think about. And Will Zalatoris is one of them. He's played so incredibly well in the majors. Matthew Fitzpatrick, you know, having won the U.S. Open is fun. But to be honest, I really like Dustin Johnson this week. I was watching him on the range today. And he played well the last time out in the LIV event. And he's as hungry as I've seen him for a long time. You know, he fell outside the top 10 in the world there, and he doesn't like that at all. He's such a talented player, so long. He's got everything that a player would need to win here at St. Andrews.
What do you think would be the story or the fallout if Dustin Johnson did win this as a member of the LIV Tour?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. It's impossible to say. You know, it has legs. There's no question about that, Dan. This is a tour that's not going to go away. So one way or the other, they're going to have to find a way to deal with it, whether or not, you know, they incorporate it into, you know, where the wraparound season is. Or, you know, there's been various ideas floated out. You know, to ignore it completely, to incorporate it somehow. Your guess is as good as mine on that one. It really is up in the air.
Yeah, I just wonder if can you embrace it? Because it feels like they want to keep taking players away. They're going to go from, what, 8 tour events to 14 tour events?
Yes.
So it feels like it's going to be harder to work in conjunction with the PGA Tour, like a partnership.
Well, you know, we have that wraparound series where, you know, there's about maybe 16 weeks where the top events in the player, top events or the top players in the world don't play those events. So there's that potential gap in the schedule where, you know, this may fit in. That's the only possibility I can see. You know, when they run these events concurrently with PGA Tour and DP World Tour and the other professional tours around the world, I don't know how that's going to work.
We're talking to David Faraday, joining us from his bathroom. I think you're sitting on the toilet, on the loo. Tiger had this event circled. He's won it twice there. Why does this course fit Tiger Woods?
You know, well, every course fits Tiger Woods, but this one, I think he just loves it so much. He loves the place. He fell in love with it the first time that he played with it, with his father. It's a magical event in a magical town. And, you know, Scottish and Irish and some English and Welsh golf, you know, golf in the British Isles, they have these courses where the town has actually grown up around the golf course. St. Andrews is a really good example of it. Prestwick is another, you know, where the town actually wraps its arms around it. You know, when somebody says St. Andrews, you don't think of the university, you think of the golf course. You know, and it's such an integral part of the culture. And I think he fell in love with that the first time he came here.
And you bring up a great point. You really have to embrace this kind of style of golf, because if you try to fight it, it's going to come back and bite you.
Yeah, I mean, Rory McIlroy hated the place the first time he came out and played here, you know, and gradually just grew to love it. Everyone who comes here, if you come here often enough, you know, you'll fall in love with the place. There's this kind of a mystique to St. Andrews that doesn't exist anywhere else. You know, if you arrive first thing in the morning, you know, when there's still a little mist in the air and the shadows are filling the hollows and the swales and the shadows in the bunkers, whatever, it really is. You can imagine that they've been playing golf here since the 1400s. This golf course was designed by sheep.
You once said the world's number one tennis player spends 90% of his time winning, while the world's number one golfer spends 90% of his time losing. Golfers are great losers. Do you have to almost, I don't know if it's like a relief pitcher, where you may go in and you may give up a home run and then you got to come back the next day. Like, you have to forget about that? Your thoughts on that?
You do. I don't think there's another game that forces you to live in the present more than golf. If you let your mind wander back to what has happened, or if you let your mind wander forwards to what you hope will happen, you know, you're not paying attention to the here and now. And it's those players that can, you know, focus on the space that they occupy and you know, concentrate on just the actual physical act of what, you know, not worrying where the ball is going to go, where it might go here, it might go there. Just pay attention to the actual act itself, you know, and to do that, you have to stay in the present.
What's the strangest thing you ever thought of while you were playing, standing over a shot?
Oh, wow, that is a large catalog right there. Yeah, the strangest thing I ever thought of, I don't know. There's been a few. I remember standing over a putt to win in South Africa, and I was wondering what my at the time wife, now ex-wife, thank you to God, was up to. Which wasn't a great thought, and I did miss the putt.
Wait, you were wondering what your ex-wife was doing at the time, perhaps?
Yes, and I was wondering what she was doing it with.
But she got half of your second place check, didn't she?
No, she got all of it.
I didn't mean to bum you out. I was just curious if you...
No, believe me, it was the best thing ever happened to me.
She missed the cut.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'm still going.
What are you doing with these events, these nine-hole skin matches? What was the genesis for this?
Well, the genesis for it, and we call them the Faraday Classics, which is massive hyperbole, you know, for the event that it is. It's just nine whole skins game. And we've just done two of them, one in Ottawa with Daniel Alfredson, you know, the Ottawa Senator legend up there, with Ben Roethlisberger and with Emmett Smith. And then we had Ben and Emmett in Toronto with Curtis Joseph. And we play a nine-hole skins game. We raise $50,000 for charity. I do an interview on stage of the four guys. Pat Perez is the PGA Tour player. And it's three against one in the skins game. They all try to beat Pat. And, you know, these are some pretty good players. They have no chance against a PGA Tour player in the skins game. I think of the 18 holes that we've played so far, Pat has won 12 or 13, I think it is. And then I do about 45 minutes of stand-up at the end of the evening. So that's it came to about because I did a similar event with Tiger down at Blue Jack Golf Club, which I think was the first course that he designed. And he and Mark O'Meara played a little exhibition match, and I did some commentary on the golf course, you know, with lavalier mics and speakers on carts so people could hear the banter between them. So it's really been a lot of fun.
Who was your idol, comedy-wise, growing up? Do you model yourself after anybody?
I'd have to say Billy Connolly. The great Scottish comedian. If you Google him, you'll see Billy Connolly. But also, you know, George Carlin, Richard Pryor, people that were on television even when I was growing up. My comedy career has been over the last 7 years only. I never thought that it would happen, and I played, you know, around 200. Gigs now around the country in smaller theaters to, you know, crowds sort of between 600 and 1,500 people. And around golf tournaments, I try to organize them in the general vicinity. So I've got kind of a captive audience for the sort of corporate entertainment that kind of event offers.
It's great to talk to you. Hope you're doing well, and be on your best behavior.
You know it, Dan. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, buddy. And flush.
Yeah, hang on. Oh, no, it's a floater.
Thank you, David. See you, bud.
Thanks, buddy. See you soon, I hope.
That might be a first, I'm guessing. Paulie, check your records. If we had anybody flush their toilet while they've been on the
I think that's first.
Yeah. He's unique, that's for sure.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft.
That's right. We will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and surprises.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year.
The Fantasy Footballers Draft special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.